Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Dans cette leçon, nous allons commencer par les introductions et les présentations. Nos interlocuteurs se trouvent dans un avion. Vous allez les entendre se présenter. My name is Michael. Je m'appelle Michael. Et notez qu'après avoir donné son nom, l'autre personne répond « Nice to meet you ». Heureux de faire votre connaissance. Répétez. Repeat. Nice. Littéralement, c'est bon. To meet. Le verbe rencontrer. You. Le pronom en objet direct. Vous ou te. Nice to meet you. Il est bon de vous rencontrer. Heureux ou heureuse de faire votre connaissance. Vous allez entendre la réponse à cette phrase. C'est la même, sauf pour le dernier mot. Nice to meet you too. To signifie aussi, à ne pas confondre avec to, qui compose tout verbe à l'infinitif. Par exemple, to meet, rencontrer. To walk, marcher. To est un adverbe. Il suffit donc que l'autre personne rajoute to à la fin d'une même phrase pour exprimer un sentiment réciproque. Listen, écoutez.
Hi, my name is Walter, Walter Kennedy.
Hello, my name is Michael, Michael Davis.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Aux États-Unis, même dans un contexte commercial ou d'affaires, les gens se présentent par « hello » ou bien « hi ».« Hi » est typiquement américain. Répétez « hi ». Habituons-nous ensemble à cette façon de se présenter. « Hi, my name is Michelle » ou bien « hello, my name is Michelle ». Répétez après moi. « Hi, my name is Mohammed ». Hello, my name is Sophie. Hi, my name is Idrissa. Hello, my name is Moussa. Hi, my name is Chantal. Hello, my name is Frédéric. Écoutons de nouveau la rencontre de Walter et de Michael.
Hi, my name is Walter, Walter Kennedy.
Hello, my name is Michael, Michael Davis.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Dans cette rencontre d'affaires qui suit, Max vient de s'installer à Washington. Il vient de San Francisco. Max just moved here from San Francisco.
Max just moved here from San Francisco.
Just moved. Il vient juste d'arriver. Kathy présente Max à Larry.
This is Max Wilson.
Et Larry présente Max à Elizabeth. Vous allez entendre Max. This is Elizabeth.
This is Elizabeth Moore.
Max, voici Elizabeth. C'est une façon très courante de présenter une personne à quelqu'un d'autre. Quand il y a plusieurs personnes présentes, vous allez entendre aussi Larry, have you met Max?
Larry, have you met Max?
Larry, connaissez-vous Max? Avez-vous rencontré Max? Have you met? Vous allez entendre la réponse positive. Yes, I have.
Yes, I have.
Et vous allez entendre aussi la réponse négative. No, I haven't.
Elizabeth, have you met Max?
No, I haven't.
C'est la contraction de no, I have not. Répétez, repeat. Have you met? Yes, I have. No, I haven't. Listen. Écoutez.
Larry, have you met Max?
Yes, I have. Welcome to Washington. Thanks, Larry.
Oh, hi, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, have you met Max?
No, I haven't.
This is Max Wilson. Max just moved here from San Francisco. Max, this is Elizabeth Moore.
Nice to meet you, Elizabeth.
It's nice to meet you too, Max.
Et c'est c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Ici Michel Joseph. Hello, I'm your English host. Je suis votre présentatrice pour l'anglais. Voulez-vous mieux parler l'anglais? C'est fait. Retrouvez-moi tous les soirs à partir de 21h temps universel sur VOA Afrique et sur notre site internet à www.voaafrique.com et en ondes courtes le samedi et le dimanche à 20h temps universel. Ne ratez pas English USA. English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation. Des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. Makalou, un ancien footballeur, rencontre un arbitre de son époque. Et tout de suite, il commence à se souvenir d'un match mémorable. Nous allons écouter la conversation. Vous répondrez par vrai ou faux, true ou false, à ces deux énoncés. 1. Kona est encore jeune. 2. Makalou, lui, rappelle qu'ils sont toujours au terrain de football. Vous répondrez ensuite à ces trois questions. 1. Comment était Makalou, selon Kona? 2. Pourquoi Makalou ne peut-il pas se rappeler de Kona? 3. Quel était le score, selon Kona? Vous entendrez quelques expressions utilisées dans le langage familier. Nous allons écouter la conversation.
Hey, Kona. Hey, I know you. Where have you been? It's been ages since we last met here. Do you recognize me? I do, but sorry. What's your name again? I'm getting older and older. I can see that. I'm not so young either, but I have not forgotten you. Tell me, what does the word Malu remind you of? Makalou, I knew, I recognized you. How could I forget the famous rough touch devil of Fabulous team? That's me, the one and only. I know I was fast and dangerous, but I had to hold back because I always had trouble avoiding your 100 eyes. Do you remember the time you scored 6 goals against Biladi's football team? Of course, how could I forget? But Kona, it was 9-1, but you refused our last 3 goals. That's not true. Come on, man, admit it. You were being too harsh. Hey, man, even if you don't agree, I'm still the referee. I'm the boss on the football pitch. Well, slow down. Come back to earth, buddy. We are not on the football pitch anymore.
Nous avons entendu dans ce dialogue Makalou et Kona. L'énoncé 1 est faux. Kona est encore jeune. L'énoncé 2 est faux. Makalou lui rappelle qu'ils sont toujours au terrain de football. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. Comment était Makalou selon Kona? Rapide et vif. 2. Pourquoi Makalou ne peut-il pas se rappeler de Kona? Parce qu'il devient de plus en plus vieux. 3. Quel était le score selon Kona? 6-0. Écoutez et répétez ces expressions et leur traduction en anglais.
I can see that.
C'est ce que je vois.
It's been ages.
Cela fait longtemps.
Slow down.
Doucement.
Come back to earth, buddy.
Reviens sur terre, mon cher.
That's not true.
Ceci est inexact. Vous avez entendu Kona et Makalou, l'excellent footballeur. Vous avez aussi entendu certaines expressions utilisées dans le langage familier. Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com. Bonjour, ce soir, Martin va au concert et il appelle sa femme, qui n'a pas pu l'accompagner sur son téléphone portable. Au cours de cette leçon, vous apprendrez à décrire un endroit en utilisant une grande variété de mots pour expliquer les dimensions, les formes et les couleurs. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington au micro Michel Joseph. Au cours de cette leçon, vous apprendrez à décrire un endroit. Martin se trouve dans une grande salle de concert, a concert hall. Il essaye de la décrire de son mieux à sa femme, qui n'a pas pu l'accompagner. Elle demande tout de suite, « What's it like ?» C'est comment ? « What's it like ?» Et il répond, « It's large, but not too large. » C'est grand, mais pas trop. I guess it holds 2,000 people. Je pense qu'elle peut contenir 2,000 personnes. I guess it holds 2,000 people. Sa femme veut en savoir davantage. Elle dit, tell me more. What color is it? Quelle est sa couleur? Et il répond. Et écoutez le reste.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can tell you're at the concert.
I wanted to try out the telephone. I can't believe I'm talking to you on the telephone.
Modern technology.
Wonderful. I'm sitting in the middle of this large concert hall talking to you on the telephone.
What's it like?
The telephone?
No, the concert.
It hasn't started yet. It will begin in about 5 minutes. The concert hall is beautiful.
Tell me about it.
It's large, but not too large. I guess it holds about 2,000 people, maybe fewer than that. I'm sorry you can't be here.
Perhaps next time. Tell me more. What color is it?
It's cream color with red trim. Not bright red, but a red wine color. There's a lot of gold, too. The hall is almost square, and it has 3 balconies. They aren't very big. They aren't very deep. Each one has about 4 rows of seats. I'm in the first balcony.
That sounds perfect.
I can look down on the audience below. I can see people coming from the doors on the right and on the left. It's almost time for the concert to begin, so the hall is almost full.
Can you see the orchestra?
Of course. I'm directly in front of the orchestra, above them, of course. They are all in their places. Some are getting ready to warm up.
Oh, I can hear them. Is it exciting?
Yes, it is. You remember the last time we came here.
Yes, it must have been 3 years ago.
I think so. The concert hall was so ugly. It was dark and dirty.
Was it dark green?
Or maybe brown. It hadn't been painted for years and years. There weren't enough lights. We couldn't find our seats. Now it's light and colorful. It's really beautiful. It looks much bigger now.
Have you interviewed the conductor?
No, not yet. I'll interview him at the first intermission. It will be a long intermission.
Say hello for me. He may remember me.
Of course he'll remember you. You've met him several times, haven't you?
Yes, but he meets so many people.
I'll call you later. It's about to begin. Bye.
N'oubliez pas qu'en anglais, les mots descriptifs sont en général placés avant le mot qu'ils décrivent. Par exemple, small stage, une petite scène. Large concert hall, une grande salle de concert. Red color, couleur rouge. Écoutez la description de Martin qui vous servira d'exemple.
Large concert hall. 2,000 people. Red wine color. 3 balconies.
Certains mots descriptifs sont placés après le verbe être en anglais, to be. They aren't small, contraction de they are not small. They aren't small. Ils ne sont pas petits. It's square, contraction de it is square. It's square, c'est carré. It was round, c'était rond. Voici d'autres exemples.
They aren't big. The hall is beautiful. It's square. It was dark and dirty.
Pourriez-vous maintenant répondre aux questions de Martin Lerner en utilisant des mots descriptifs? Vous avez sans doute remarqué que ces mots rendent la description d'un endroit encore plus précise. Écoutez bien et répondez à ces questions. Par exemple, Martin vous demandera « How large is the concert hall ?» Et vous pouvez répondre « It's very large » ou bien « Large but not so large » ou bien « It's not large, it's small » Enfin, répondez comme vous voulez.
How large is the concert hall? What color is the concert hall? Is the concert hall dark and dirty? Is the hall round or square?
Is that you, Martin?
It's the intermission.
I know. I've been listening to the concert on the radio.
Pour savoir décrire un lieu, il faut que vous puissiez décrire les couleurs, les dimensions et les formes. C'est-à-dire en anglais, you have to be able to describe the shape, les formes, ou la forme, the shapes, les dimensions, en anglais, the size, et les couleurs, the colors. Martin Lerner parle au téléphone avec sa femme. Il parle en décrivant la salle de concert, the concert hall. Il parle aussi durant l'entracte, during intermission. Intermission, c'est l'entracte. Il parle des lumières, the lights. There are lots of lights. Il y a beaucoup de lumière. Il parle de l'orchestre, the orchestra. The orchestra is wonderful. Il parle du plaisir à l'écoute de cette musique. The pleasure. It's a pleasure to listen to this wonderful music. Et voilà pour l'Anglais Express. Vous savez maintenant comment décrire un endroit. The movie theater was very small. La salle de cinéma était très petite. Ou bien, this house is green. Cette maison est verte. Si vous connaissez un endroit sympathique en utilisant des mots descriptifs, vous pourrez peut-être persuader vos amis d'y aller aussi. The restaurant was really beautiful. The food was delicious. Le restaurant était vraiment splendide et la nourriture délicieuse. The hall was round. La salle était ronde. Je suis sûre que vous connaissez plein d'endroits sympathiques autour de chez vous ou dans votre quartier et vous pourriez vous exercer à les décrire.
Bienvenue à l'Anglais Express. En anglais, comment est-ce qu'on invite de façon amicale ou familière? Eh bien, on peut commencer l'invitation par « why don't ?» Ce qui est sous-entendu ici, c'est l'idée de « why not ?» Pourquoi pas? Comme cette phrase qui dit « why don't you join us ?» Tu nous rejoins? Ou bien « why don't we go see a basketball game ?» On va voir un match de basket? D'autres exemples d'invitations amicales, informelles. Why don't I take you to dinner? On sort dîner? Why don't we connect on Facebook? On se connecte sur Facebook? Autre formule d'invitation. How about? Et si l'on faisait? Et si? Ou pourquoi pas? How about se traduit plutôt par et si l'on faisait ceci? Ou et si l'on faisait cela? How about we tour Washington? Et si on faisait une visite de Washington? Vous êtes les bienvenus. How about we have lunch? On sort déjeuner? How about we go to a concert? On sort voir un concert? Autre formule d'invitation. How would you like to... Aimerais-tu? Est-ce que ça te plairait de... Des exemples. How would you like to hang out? On passe un peu de temps ensemble? How would you like to run in the morning? Aimerais-tu faire du jogging le matin? How would you like to go to the movies? Aimerais-tu aller voir un film? Et voilà pour l'Anglais Express. Welcome to Anglais TV. My name is Michelle Joseph, and I have with me today my colleague
Roger Muntu,
and our guest student from France,
Eva Pacanaro.
That's right. I like Pacanaro.
I like that. Pacanaro. Thank you, Eva, for being with us. And we have a subject today that was proposed by our listener, who is also an English teacher in DRC. Jeff Pascal Ilunga.
Mm-hmm.
He asked if we could go over.
Ah, go over.
Which means revoir, mm-hmm. to go over.
So to go over means revoir.
There you go. Yeah. To go over.
It means another verb, yeah.
Words that describe where we are in time. What do you think that means, Eva?
Can you repeat?
Words that describe where we are in time.
Tomorrow, mm-hmm. yesterday,
yeah. Okay.
Last year.
That's
excellent.
It.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And actually some adverbs also, which I had forgotten. Now.
Mm-hmm.
For example, now.
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 Later.
Later, morning, afternoon. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we have today,
mm-hmm.
yesterday,
tomorrow, very good,
now,
yeah.
one month,
yeah, exactly, right. Yeah. I'm going to really get into this time.
Sounds good.
Welcome to now. Welcome to now, and to today, and... If we go back in time, what would that be, Eva?
In an English course.
Okay, but you could say to yesterday, welcome to yesterday.
Oh,
yes, let's go back a little in time. Because we said now, mm-hmm. and we said today.
Yeah.
So go a bit in the past, and what would that be?
5 minutes ago.
There we go.
Yeah. 5 minutes ago is the past.
And
yeah.
What is that ago?
That's good.
What is the ago?
Yeah.
What is that? What is ago?
Right.
Why? What is this ago that you add when you're talking about the past?
Is the age of the time?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the past.
So actually, if we visualize
yeah.
it. With the verb go, ago, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. Bye bye.
So maybe that's where it came from.
Of course.
Ago.
Go. Yeah,
it's gone.
Course, yep.
Okay.
Yep. Ago.
So we could say a day ago.
Mm-hmm. A month ago.
Yes.
And
a year ago.
A year ago. Mm-hmm. A week ago.
A week ago.
An hour ago.
Right. To imply that that's the past.
Right.
Yep.
And so if it's in the future, what would we say?
Next summer, next week?
Next.
Very
next.
Good. Yeah, very
that's
good.
That's it. So we're going to all try to understand ago, next. So you always have something in front and something in behind. Welcome to Anglais Télé. Bienvenue à Anglais Télé, votre émission
pour pratiquer l'anglais. This is where you learn how to practice English. My name is Michelle Joseph and my fellow colleague...
And I am Roger Muntu.
And we have two guests with us today.
Hi, everybody. I'm Eva Takenaro.
And...
Hi, I'm Yubin Kim.
And we're very happy to welcome our guest also in DRC, Portland, Maine. We're discussing about, and Mali, sorry.
That's right. There's a lot of people in Mali.
We have to.
Yes.
Not, we must not forget our
listeners.
That's
right.
Okay.
That's right.
And I wanted to actually say a special hello to Tran, our Facebook viewer in Vietnam.
Yeah, he's in Vietnam. Tran really follow all our videos. We're saying thank you to Tran. If you are listening to this show right now, we say thank you, both Michelle and I.
Yes, we appreciate your comments, and we know that it's very, very early in your country, and so we're not going to disturb you.
That's correct.
Right, yeah. But I had to. This is my sense of obligation with the verb to have.
That's correct.
I had to say hi to Tran.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
So we're going to continue with to have.
Mm-hmm. Part two.
Part two, yeah. Which basically... There are challenges with to have, because especially with the contractions.
Right.
So let's warm up with that. We'll find out what they are. Well, I'm going to work with what you were speaking about, Eva, your obligations or what you have to do here as an intern. And we're going to use the contractions. For example, let's see. We're going to use a contraction. For example, when we're using she, he, or it has, when we do the contraction it's or he's or she's, yes, it can be confused with is. She's very pretty, or she's got a lot of work to do. He has and she has, or he is or she is, when that contraction happens, sometimes it's difficult to find out,
yes,
what is this exactly?
Yep.
So I know that I'm putting you on the spot, but do you have an idea of an example that you could use in that context? Maybe Roger can help
you. I have an example here. This is what Michelle is trying to say. Third person of singular of the verb to be is he is or she is, right? Third person of singular of the verb to be. He is or she is.
Or it is.
Or it is. Thank you, Michelle. So if you contract that, you're going to be his. He's sick.
Yeah.
He's hungry. He's French. She's American. She's... No, she is.
It's
contraction. She is.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of it is. He in America, if you say, oh, it is funny, they know you're not American.
Okay. Right.
That's it.
It's going to sound bizarre.
They know you're not American. Yeah. If you say, oh, it is cool, they know you're not American.
Okay.
The Americans say, it's cool. It's funny. It's the contract a lot. So this is the verb to be. So in the verb to have now, let's come back to the verb to have, the one Michelle was saying. There's also a third person in to have, which is he has, she has, or it has. That also has a contraction that also you can also put that contraction.
Yeah, so he's got.
He's got. So the only difference here, if I should add, which is what Michelle was saying, the how would you know is because the one with the verb to have has to be followed by a verb.
Right.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you say, it's cool, cool is not a verb, so that's fine.
Okay.
We know that's to be. But in to have, you say, he's got to leave tonight. He's got to leave tonight, to leave as a verb.
Yes.
So we know that's got it's
he's
dead.
Has.
Right?
Has.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I got it.
You got it?
No, okay. She got
it. You get it?
It?